We have Emma, who's part of the Limitless Pioneers team working in churches across the north of England. We've got Rhianne, who you heard from in the last session, from Life Church, King Standing. Byanda from Lighthouse in Manchester. We've got Alice from Life Church in Hoddesdon, and Beth from UT in Belfast. And you've also seen leading us in worship as well. So we're very excited to hear from all of these guys. I'm not going to get up in between each of them, so I'm just going to ask that we make, as each one comes up, we make them feel really welcome. Give them a nice round of applause as they come up. And first of all, to Emma, over to you.
Thank you very much. Yes, so my name's Emma, and I'm the Limitless Pioneers developer for the North. So very excited to be on team. And yeah, I think my major learning for lockdown is how to use Zoom and Kahoot, and that nobody knows how to unmute themselves. I don't know. That's me done, I think. No. I feel like, obviously, we've all learned lots of different things through lockdown, and we've all had similar experiences and some different. Mine, I feel like, might have been a bit different to some, and God has really taught me a lot through it, but the thing that I'm going to share with you is actually maybe really obvious in a moment. So my story is that I'm from Manchester too, and I've been a youth pastor there for 10 years. And then before the Christmas before lockdown, I felt like God was calling me out into something new. And so I left my job, not really knowing what was next. And then 3 months later, we had lockdown, because nobody knew that was next. And I got really ill with COVID the very first week of the very first lockdown. And it turned into long COVID. And I've been really ill for 18 months, basically. And it's taken the form of lots of different symptoms and lots of different things involving lots of brain fog and chronic fatigue and anxiety and depression and lots of fun things through it. And I was getting over it. And in the second lockdown, I managed to get COVID again. So that was really good from a Limitless project. So it's fine. It's all forgiven. And that sort of just took my legs out again from under me. And so it's been a bit of a time of recovery. But really, God has been in that time so faithful. You know, and I've really learned that God is trustworthy. You know, we fear suffering, we fear going through things, but as we learned last night, actually going through something, we learn so much more about who we are and who God is. And so he has taught me so many things about the power of thankfulness, no matter what, that through thankfulness we get into his presence. That, you know, that God has really taught me the power of speaking out and truth, and we'll come on to that in a minute. And the real power of just finding out more about who you are and being allowed to be expressive and creative in different ways. And the real power of rest, ladies and gentlemen, which I really didn't know about before because I was living such a busy life and thought that was how I was serving God. And so to find out that there is real power in rest and that margin that Tim was talking about has been really important to me and really foundational. But so there's lots of different things. But as I said, the really obvious thing for me is the power of his word. That when everything else has been taken away, my community had been taken away, my church, my health, my brain, I couldn't think, I couldn't do anything. Everything had been taken away, lockdown as we know, social connection. But what hadn't been taken away is that God is good and that we have his word to stand on. And I had to make a decision that is the word of God, just nice words in my life that are additional. Or am I building my life as a foundation on his word? And I know we've all been there. We nod along, and I've been there. Not yes, of course. I know I'm a professional Christian. I know I'm supposed to, put the word as foundational. But literally when everything else is taken away, and we saw it in our youth work, everything else had gone, but God still remained. And so for me, Psalm 46 is really important. It says this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. he lifts his voice and the earth melts. And that for me was a real picture of what I was seeing, that the mountains in my life, the touch points that had been so obvious and there all along, had suddenly gone. And yet God remains, his voice remains. And so that's had to be a decision. Am I deciding to choose to believe the truth of his promises and his word over my life? Or am I going to choose to believe how I'm feeling? Because today I'm not feeling great. Am I going to choose to believe what the media is saying? Am I going to choose to stand on his promises and say, no, this is my God and this is the truth? And I had to really go through that myself and decide that I'm aligning. It was like these things have been taken off us, off me, and then I had to choose to align myself with his word. And so as a response to that, I started thinking back over my youth work and thinking, you know, have I built a youth work for the last 10 years that is standing on his word, or is it on other things as well? And obviously there's loads of great things in youth work, but we found, didn't we, that, you know, community is gone. The upfront work is gone. Those groups are gone. All this is gone. But do my young people know how to access the word? Do my young people know how to access God for themselves? Or are they just coming to a group? Have I built something that has that as the real foundation? And so I started to think through that and how we were going to do that in the future as well. And off the back of that, God also, along with that, taught me about the power of speaking out his word. That it's not just about reading it, although obviously that's really important, but there's real power in speaking out his word. And so we know that Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not just reading it, hearing it. And so he talked to me over this time about speaking out his promises, praying out loud his promises over my life and seeing the real power in that. And therefore, how do I equip my young people to do the same thing, no matter where they're at with God? And so at the minute in Blackpool, I'm pioneering a project, and I'm making sure that every week, that none of, like, loads of them aren't Christians, you know, totally off the street kids, but they are hearing something from the Bible and they're speaking it out loud over themselves. They have to say the phrase, they have to say the Bible verse, because the Bible promises that faith will arise when that happens. So how am I getting sure that the Bible is really the foundation of what I'm building, not just an add-on, you know? And that's really what I want to leave with us, and as a question. Are you building your life on the word, or is it a nice thing? And how are you including it as foundational in your youth ministry? What have we learned as we went from this place? Because I had a real picture, just to finish, that as I was writing this, as I wrote those words, are the words of God a nice word in my life? And I had a picture of, like, Aslan the lion roaring at me. My words are not nice words. How dare you use that word nice? My words are powerful. My words bring life. My words make a difference. Let's not take it for granted, but let's build our lives on the word. So that's one of the things I've learned.
Hey everyone, my name is Rhianne, for those of you who don't know me. My lessons from lockdown are a bit more reflective to the self as a leader. So I'm going to get straight into it, because let's be real, I've got like 5 minutes. But I want to tell you a little bit about who I am. I'm the kind of person, when it comes to leadership, I like being organized, I like knowing structure, I like kind of knowing what's going on, but I also like really dislike last minute things. Can you give me a bit of like affirmation if you're that kind of person? Yeah, thank you. I am also somebody who really doesn't like when things don't go as planned. Now, I want to just explain to you very briefly some of the things that I experienced over the last 2 years, and I'm only going to give you some of them. You ready? Here we go. Over the past 2 years, I've experienced 3 youth team members stepping down. One stepping down for 7 months for personal reasons, one's taking 1 month off. One senior pastor being called to another church, 18 months of still not finding another senior pastor. 3 recruitment conversations with people in the life of our church about joining the youth team. 3 changes of minds about joining the youth team. 3 recruitments of 3 amazing young leaders. One amazing partnership in running an after-school club, some pretty creative and amazing sessions on Zoom and in the building, but more importantly, I've experienced one Lord and Saviour who has guided me through each and every season that I've gone through. When lockdown kicked off, essentially my liking to be organised self was pushed out of my comfort zone. I found myself trying to retrace every book, every lecture, shout out to Regent's Youth Track, trying to understand every sermon that I'd heard before, every advice I heard, or trying to find any friend that I could speak to simply try and get an idea of what to do. Do you guys get that? Thank you so much for agreeing with me. I found myself in this place where everything was great and talking to all these people was really helpful. But God was like, actually, Riam, that's all well and good, but you haven't come to me first. You haven't come and sought after me. He gave me this amazing opportunity to lead in the church that I'm at right now. I'm the youth and young adults pastor, and it's such a blessing. But he reminded me, that's me that gave you that. He reminded me and said, it's me that invited you in on this greatest mission of telling people about the good news, the great commandment, I mean the great commission, sorry. And then he then reminded me what I needed to do. He gave me clarity over what I needed to do when these situations presented itself. He gave me this, and about, I'm going to summarize it in 5 points. Don't worry, it's not going to be like really long. Like, not like, you know, when a preacher's like, 3 points, you're like, oh, here we go. 5 points. Number one, rest is key. Number two, comparison can take many forms. Number three, start praying and fasting for your ministry. Number four, have a willingness to change or adapt. Yeah. And number five, my trust is in nothing but him. Now, I don't have time to cover them all, but I'm going to just touch on two very quickly. The first one being comparison can take many forms. If you had asked me if I suffered with comparison, I would have been like, nah, not at all. But God helped me to see that comparison had taken many forms in me. I started comparing my programs. I started comparing my capacity. I started comparing my youth. And I started comparing my team. I found myself questioning my youth programs. It seemed like when the moment we went online, every single person started a YouTube channel. And I was like, do I need to do this? I mean, everybody else is doing it. It seems like it's the online trend. I found myself scrolling through social media and seeing all my youth work friends posting something every day. And I started questioning whether I needed to be doing the same or if I needed to be doing more. I found myself gutted over how many young people we'd lost. I found myself absolutely devastated of this once big number that we had was no longer a thing anymore. I became so consumed by this figure that I didn't actually clock onto the reality that 1 year later, we had new young people joining our group out of nowhere. I didn't do anything. Like, they just started coming out of nowhere. But I was too busy focused on that number because I thought my youth group's not as big as it used to be anymore. And then when I found, like, I finally had an idea of what we should do, I encountered the struggles with my team, who didn't have the capacity to be able to adapt their schedules to the ideas that I had created for myself without actually consulting them, without actually having a conversation with them. All of these things are different forms of comparison that essentially my, let's just say, kind of my rapid impulse to try and keep up with the trend self wanted to try and keep up with. But I, by simply seeking the Holy Spirit and asking him for guidance would have totally changed that and given me more of a fruitful approach. So I want to ask you today to take time and simply ask God if comparison has taken any forms in your life. Because comparison may be able to help you create fruit, but it doesn't help you create kingdom fruit. I found that I was able to come up with these great ideas by comparing and looking at other people's stuff. But was I producing the fruit that God had called for my youth ministry in particularly? No. Okay, number two, very quickly, start praying and fasting for your ministry. I found that during lockdown, I found myself hitting burnout a lot quicker than I would normally. But out of a moment of simply being like, God, help, then turned into him guiding me right back to the heart of prayer. Yeah. Often God reminds me that when the waves start to crash and the stress starts to kick in, prayer is so important. And it's not just important just for me or for the creative juices I find always flows straight afterwards, but actually it starts flowing for his ministry and for his children. Mm. I want to encourage you today that if you haven't already started praying and fasting for your ministry, to do so. Yeah, now, I'm not just saying just to pray for the things that you've got planned, coming up, or programmed, but I want to encourage you to pray and fast for your young people. Yeah. I want you to pray and fast for your team members, for the content you're planning, almost covering it in prayer beforehand, but then pray and fast for your future, the future that you haven't planned yet. Because I asked myself this very question when he gave me this reality. He said, how can you be doing something that is so centered on me, but not actually include me? To end, let me simply remind you of this scripture. It comes from John 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. My lesson from lockdown is this. Jesus is the bread of life, and through him, we can do all things. We just need to put our trust in nothing but him. Thank you.
Great, thank you. I've also got like 5 minutes, so I'm just gonna quickly get into it. Yeah, so my name is Bayander, and I'm from Lighthouse Church in Manchester. Lighthouse Church in Manchester, the great city of Manchester, with the greatest football team, Manchester United. Yeah, come on. And I'm privileged enough, you know, to hang out with some of the young people there. And, you know, it's a joy to see them grow in their relationship with the Lord and, you know, really go out into their communities and, you know, install that kingdom culture in their schools and their families and with those around them as well. And undoubtedly, the lockdown hit them really, really hard, as it did pretty much like all of us, if we're being really honest. It hit us all by storm, and it was totally unprovoked, unexpected, and it came out of nowhere. And we've gone from kind of doing church and doing ministry normally to having to try and navigate through, you know, leading youth and leading church through Zoom, or trying to connect to worship or connect to our Sunday services whilst we're in our pajamas on our couches or sitting in our rooms. It was a mess, and it was all over the place. But the good thing is that even though it's all over the place, God still works in many, many ways. You know, even though we're in a lockdown, he's still moving. His presence is still moving. And you know, that was the thing that kept me going through it and brought so many lessons with it. No doubt God really taught me a lot through it. But the prominent thing that God did in my life was he exposed my heart. So, you know, we love the Holy Spirit moments. We love, you know, the services. We love leading youth. But when God really exposes what is inside, that's a bit icky, that's a little bit uncomfortable, it's a little bit challenging, and we don't really love that. And that's what God did for me. He really exposed my heart to myself, my heart state. What I didn't realize is that I'd been so caught up in doing church, doing serving, quote unquote doing ministry, that I didn't realize that I'd completely abandoned my relationship with God. And it's such a scary place to be, but I had replaced my relationship with God, my personal relationship with God, with ministry and church. And then God is here on the sidelines, like outside of the ring, like, hey, remember me? Like, I'm here. You know, the whole reason you're doing this is because of me. Remember, waving at me. And that's kind of what happened for me during lockdown. It was an exposure of my heart state. God really confronted and challenged what was going on inside. And it was when the whole world was kind of quiet and suddenly there wasn't any schedules or any rotas to plan or any youth services or youth nights to plan, that God really spoke to me and reminded me how important it is to have a personal relationship with him and daily communion with him. And it was during the process of refocusing and kind of realigning my priorities that the Lord really took me through a journey of the book of Daniel, kind of in short, when the Israelites had been taken into captivity by the king of Babylon. And God really showed me Daniel through that, and how his personal relationship with the Lord, you know, kept him going, gave him strength, and, you know, replenished him and filled him up when he was in a position of lack. And I felt like the Lord was saying, this lockdown, not the same, but it's almost kind of like a captivity of its own. And, you know, during this time, it is really, really important that you have a personal relationship with me. And just like Daniel did, you know, have a personal relationship with him. And it is only through that personal relationship and daily communion with him that we are strengthened, that we're replenished, that we are filled up when we are having, you know, that time with the Lord in our secret place, when we have real intimacy with him. That is when he moves. And Yeah, I felt like that's what the Lord was showing me, and that we should be leading out of the overflow of our personal relationship with Him and not the other way around. Otherwise, we are pouring out of an empty cup, or we are leading from a position of deficit. So just in short, to round up for my 5 minutes, I'd just like to encourage you today that may we be a people, may we be leaders, may we be Christians that will, you know, that will seek first His kingdom and allow Him to do the rest. That may we be Christians that are after the hearts of God, after genuine encounter and revelation in our personal time, then out of the overflow of that, allow Him to, you know, empower us to lead others. And that's kind of what God taught me, exposed my heart, and really helped me to realize how important it is to have a personal relationship with Him before anything else. So that's what I'd just like to encourage you with today. Thanks.
That's quite a big step up, isn't it? Hi, I'm Alice, and I'm from Hoddesdon in Hertfordshire, and I lead the Limitless Hoddesdon Youth Group, and I've been there for a couple of years now. And I want to share, a couple of years ago, my auntie had a picture from God, which she recently shared with me. And in this picture, she'd sinned and she'd messed up, and she ran away from God, and she went to hide behind this rock. And then she heard footsteps approaching, and she knew that Jesus had found her hiding space. And she was cowering behind the rock, waiting for Jesus to throw an accusation or be disappointed or angry with her. But instead of doing that, He stretches out His arms of embrace and says, "Come on, daughter, let's try again." And I just love that picture. And for me, that really summarizes a key lesson that God has taught me in lockdown about His patience and His faithfulness towards me, despite my failures and my weaknesses. And He just showed me a new level of His patience for me. During lockdown, if you're anything like me, it's kind of been shared by some of the guys before, I had more time to think about things. I had more time to think about the deep things going on. And that led to certain issues in my life kind of rising to the surface, maybe certain issues which I'd pushed away or covered up in the busyness of life. And I find that I'm quite self-aware as a person, which I find to be a good thing and a bad thing, because it's a good thing because if I'm, for example, having a conversation with my sister and I'll say something really mean and horrible, she'll be really angry with me. But also, I'll be able to recognise that that's coming from like a root of bitterness, and I'll be like, yeah, that's I can see what's happening on a heart level, which you might think, oh, that's great, you can really see that. But also, at that point, I know exactly what I should do about it. But knowing what to do and doing it is a whole other story. But over lockdown, these kind of issues came up in my life, which I knew I needed to deal with. And having loads of time to think about stuff kind of made me think, man, I really messed up. I really need to do some work on my life with God. And I'd enter His presence and I'd be determined to deal with some of these issues that I was having. And I'd feel that conviction of sin, and I'd leave that place determined that I would never ever have a jealous thought again, determined that that problem was now gone. Quite optimistic, you might be thinking, because obviously I would then fail at that. And I'd fall back into those patterns. And then I'd begin to feel really disappointed in myself and be sure that God was disappointed in me as well. I'd really beat myself up about it. And then I'd see these cycles kind of continue until I realized this isn't the way God wants me to live. This isn't the freedom He wants me to live in. And I knew my perspective needed changing. And God began to show me just new things about His patience with me. He began to remind me that He is not surprised when I mess up. He knows just how fickle and easily I am at being susceptible to sin and failing. But even though I sometimes think, God, how do you put up with me? I do the same things again and again. He never tires of showing His mercy to me, extending His grace to me, of finding me in that hiding place and saying, come on, daughter, let's try again. My grace is sufficient for you. In Dane Ortland's book, Gentle and Lowly, he says that Jesus' heart of gentle embrace is never outmatched by our sins and insecurities and doubts and anxieties and failings. That's how good He is. That's how faithful He is. That however far we go, those things are never outmatched by His grace for us. And He doesn't ignore those things in my life that need to be drawn out. And there are consequences for those. But instead of approaching me in a way that's impatient and restless, His approach to me is always that of a gentle father. And that's what He's been showing me and revealing to me, that He isn't angry and disappointed in me, but He treats me as the daughter that I am to Him. And I don't think there's been a point during lockdown where those truths haven't been in my mind. I've known that he's patient and he's gracious and he forgives me, but I think over lockdown, God has just been allowing those truths to sink in on a heart level and making me understand in a new way just how much he's ready to forgive me. And the enemy really wants to tell us that we're a failure. The enemy will whisper to us and say, God doesn't want to forgive you anymore. Or you're probably like a little bit less in his eyes now because you've done that and you've kept falling into those patterns of sin. But the truth is, and the thing that God has been showing me, is that if his spirit lives in me, I am being transformed to become more like Jesus. And it's actually impossible that that isn't happening. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. As we spend time in his presence and behold his glory, we are being changed to become more like him, even when we don't see it or feel it. And the key thing God's been showing me is that it's not down to my own efforts. If I strive to sort it out myself, it's always going to end in failure because I'm so in need of the grace and mercy of Jesus to help me with that. And instead of seeing my problems as there or not there, God's been showing me that I am on a journey with him. We hear it a lot. It sounds kind of cheesy, but it is true. And Jesus loves the process that we go through with him, and he's constantly teaching us things. And as I surrender myself to him daily and allow him to shape me, I am being transformed to become more like him. So I can reflect his glory and make him known. And that can only truly happen when we become the people God wants us to be by surrendering to him and allowing his spirit to make us more like him. Yeah. In Psalm 23, it talks about Jesus, the good shepherd, leading us on paths of righteousness. And I was reading about the context of sheep in Israel on the hillsides and how they would actually circle their way up a hill, creating paths that led them higher. And it was a really good image for me that actually, even when I feel like I'm facing the same issues again and again, instead of feeling like I'm not going anywhere, God's reminded me that I am going higher and higher in those paths of righteousness as his spirit is transforming me to become more like him. I so often just want to get to the destination to solve everything in an instant. And I know God is powerful enough to do that, but God's been just teaching me to enjoy the process, just to be grateful in the mess, however unnatural it feels. And as I finish, I just want to share some words from a song that I've been listening to quite a lot recently. And there's a chorus that goes, I know that you are constant. I know that you are faithful. I know that only you can take me from where I've been to where I'm going. God, only you can take me from where I've been to where I'm going. And I'm not at the destination yet, but I'm also not where I started. And I know that I'm on a journey with the one who's so faithful, with the one who loves me too much to leave me where I am, and the one who is not surprised by my sins and my failures, but the one who never, ever tires of extending his grace and his mercy and his love to me and saying, come on, daughter, let's keep going.
Cool. Awesome. My name is Beth. I am from Belfast in Northern Ireland. I am 22 years old, and 3 months ago I got married, so my name has just changed. Three months ago I started a new job, so I work for Serving a Mission in Ireland, and I have the privilege of being on the UT Youth Team in Belfast. I also had the privilege of attending that youth ministry, and now it is my absolute joy to serve the people of that youth ministry. But the single most important thing that God taught me during lockdown is that he doesn't change and that he cannot be shaken. In Hebrews 12, verses 28 to 29, it says this, therefore, since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us be filled with gratitude and so worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I don't know about you, but I remember exactly where I was the first time that I heard we were going into a lockdown. I was sitting on my sofa with my sister and the announcement came on the TV. And I remember when they said, like, the time is now, we're going into a national lockdown. I was like, pardon? And I squeezed my sister's hand so tightly because the only thought that went through my head was, I am not going to make it through this. Like, there is no way. I am naturally dramatic as it is, but it just heightened it. I was like, I'm not making it through this. That's it. Bury me now because I'm dying. Because the idea of being locked in my house, not being able to see my fiance at the time, not being able to see my friends, and not being able to do the routine that I had developed over so many years just seemed like such a foreign concept. It just didn't make sense. And at the beginning, it was only meant to be 3 weeks. Like, what happened to the three weeks? It turned into months, and we're still here now trying to live with something that shook all of our lives, and we're still trying to live with COVID. And everything became so overwhelming so quickly. I remember the world at one point just seemed to like really heat up, and everybody was getting involved, even though everyone was in their houses. Everything on social media just like cranked up to another level, and everyone was giving their opinions. And I was like, what's going on? But it's because COVID was not the only thing that we've been dealing with these past 2 years. Yes, it has been the thing that has been at the forefront of our minds, but everything else has been going on as well. There has been humanitarian crises breaking out all over the world. There has been political unrest, and it just seems like everything is shaky, and it feels uneasy. And it feels like at any moment, anything could break out and anything could change. However, through this, I learned that God is not changing, and that he is remaining steadfast. He is remaining faithful. He is remaining the truth, and he is remaining sovereign. In Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27, it says, "With your hands you once formed the foundations of the earth and handcrafted the heavens above. They will all fade away one day, like worn out clothing, ready to be discarded. But you'll still be here. You will replace it all. Your first creation will be changed, but you alone will endure, the God of all eternity." You see, God does not change. And whilst the world around us is unpredictable and it is shaking all the time, we are actually a part of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we serve the God who never changes. And this was so important to me as I clung to God in those moments where I felt helpless, I felt lost, and I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore. I was reminded of his faithfulness. But it was also so important as I looked at our young people, as I looked at UT Youth, and I watched as some of them walked away from God. I watched as some of them hadn't returned to youth and still haven't returned to youth. As I watched as some of them who used to be so on fire for God seemed to let the fire die. And as I watched that, I thought to myself again, like, we're not going to make it through this because everything has changed. But it was in those moments that God gently rebuked me and said, "I haven't changed." And it's then that I remembered the promises of God and that he loves these young people far more than I ever could. And he is still moving in their lives, and he still wants to use UT Youth just like he did before the pandemic. You see, even when I can't see it, God is never changing, and he will always be God. This is so important to remember as we lead our young people, because their worlds will change and they will shake, and this will not be the only thing that will change and shake their worlds. They will continually look for something to grab onto, something to hold them down once they try to understand this crazy world that we live in. Because the one thing that I have learned about young people is that they want to see a difference in the world. They are hungry for change. They are hungry for justice. And sometimes they just don't know where to look. But the thing is, God has always been the God of these things, and all the answers that they need are found in him. Therefore, I want to encourage us to try our very best to ensure that our young people are clinging to the one who will never change, the one who remains consistent, and the one who holds it all together. As you push with your young people through difficult times, as you run after them with fire in your eyes, be encouraged that you should serve the unshakable God who reigns in his unshakable kingdom. And serving him, knowing him, and pointing our young people towards him is the greatest privilege of our lives.
Amen.
Wow, it's a 5-course meal right there. So good. Thank you. So good just to hear from one another, isn't it? And we've got more opportunity to do that now as we discuss. Emma, are we building our lives and our youth ministries on the power of God's word? Rianne, who cheated and gave us 5 lessons from lockdown. Comparison can take many forms. and start praying and fasting for our youth ministries and our young people and our teams. How many of us want to action that, I wonder? Bayanda, don't allow ministry to become a substitute for intimacy. Such an important reminder. Alice, God is patient with us. I need to remember that. And there is value in the process of discipleship. And Beth, God does not change and he cannot be shaken. Isn't it true that as we go through things, God will take the things that we kind of always knew in our head and he just anchors them in our hearts? There's my reflection as you shared there, that that's perhaps what the Lord's been doing in your lives, and no doubt will have been doing it for all of us as well. And so this is now a good chunk of time to learn from one another. So I'm going to encourage you, rather than just kind of swinging around for a short discussion on your seats, pick up the chairs, turn them around, find a group of three or four or something, whatever it can be. However, and we're going to give you a good solid 15 minutes now to just reflect on your last 2 years and the most important lessons that God's taught you in the time and that time. The reason we want to do this is because you and I know youth ministry, it's the next week, it's the next week, it's the next week and the next week. And it's so easy for us just to plow into 2022. Go, 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 go. But we don't want to go into 22 and fail to carry with us the lessons that God taught us over the last couple of years. So let's take this time to reflect a bit more deeply and to consider the things the Lord has shown us over these last couple of years. So Sam, maybe you'll put a little track on for us. Do swing your chairs around, find a little small group and share. What's God taught you? What are the most important lessons that you have learned in these last couple of years? Go for it.